Blog Talk Radio.
Are
minute, wait a minute. Now you can just go on and be Shirley Caesar now. Because I don't know about you, I got to cry sometimes.
You know, I know something about tears. When my mama passed away, I did not know that I had that many tears in me. I wish that I had an incantation where I could say abracadabra and she'd get up. I said, Mama, and I got no answer. I said, Mama, don't leave me. And I got no answer. And I cried, but you know what God did? He took me to a place called there. And Bishop, in my place called there, He met me there.
Right there.
He moved the pain.
Right there.
He took the hurt out of the hurt.
Right there.
He took the grief out of the grief. He began to wipe my tears away. Oh, I know I was going to cry some more, but right then and there, I went to my place of prayer, and He wiped them. Is there anybody in here that know what I'm talking about? Have you ever been?
He's gone away.
Have you ever been to the Valley of Baca? Baca is a place of pain. Baca is a place of loneliness. Baca is a place of grief. But down in your valley, a Baca. He's there. Somebody give me a handkerchief. Give me a handkerchief. Give it to me quick. You know what he said he'd do?
Wipe.
He'll wipe. Wipe.
Of the Urban Wire, brought to you by the Urban Coalition of Freelance Writers, where we shine the light on issues impacting the urban community. Tonight, we have some really bad news to discuss with you guys. I guess if you haven't been paying attention to the news today, I mean, I guess you haven't, you know, heard much or heard anything about the bombing that took place in Boston, Massachusetts today, kind of like taking place during a marathon that they were holding, you know, and it was kind of just kind of like a bittersweet thing because I guess the marathon was held to raise money, and you know, it was a good event. You know, something positive, and it was kind of a shame that it was offset by something as tragic as this. So we're going to be discussing that tonight. We have special coverage. We have on the line, as always, Michael Snyder.
Good evening.
We just wanted to open up the show with something inspirational, something to encourage the people that are victims of this horrific terrorist attack. And we, you know, we just want to start the show off with something inspirational, something positive to set the mold. That song was by Bishop Paul S. Morton, featuring Shirley Caesar. And the song was called Your Tears. So no matter what you're going through, just remember that, you know, we must all stick together and, you know, things will get better. You know, I know that's a cliche, but there's nothing that we as a people can't do if we stick together. So let's just keep the families uplifted in prayer. You know, let's just keep in mind that this is a trying time for them. So, you know, and it just reminds us of the day and the times that we're living in. You know, we hear about terrorist action, you know, and activity around the globe, and you know, and we think that, you know, that stuff is, hey, that can't happen here in the United States. But I mean, you know, as we've seen today, that this is a reality still. We're still dealing with domestic terrorism as well as international terrorism. And it makes it even worse because it hits right at home. And like I said, it's kind of sad, too, because it was surrounding an event that was supposed to be a positive event. So we're going to talk about that. We have some clips. We're going to start off here in a few minutes with the president's reaction to today's attacks. And before we get started, I just wanted to see if Michael had anything to say. Did you have any words of encouragement, or or what did you really want to share tonight, and what do you hope we accomplish tonight?
Well, hopefully tonight get as much of the information out there to people as what we've gotten so far. Hopefully that we'll see some developments here as soon as possible and get these people locked away in a prison or put to death as soon as we can.
Yeah, and like you said, this event happened just today, this afternoon. And so what we're sharing with you, you know, might not be accurate at this point because there's still details that are yet to be released. This is still going, ongoing investigation. This is like a fresh event. So we're just going to share with you what we have. And as, like, things develop, we will come back with an updated, you know, with an updated show with up-to-date information. But, like I said earlier, you know, it's very saddening that this event had to happen out of all days. Like, it's sad enough that it happened, but it had to happen around such a positive event. You know, it was just very unsuspecting. Like I said, details are still developing. You know, everybody's still in a frenzy. You know, last time I checked, I think the death toll is up to 3, which is including including a child as well. I think that the last numbers that I checked online, there were 134 people that were injured. And I think that the death toll might have, you know, I mean, the number of people injured and the death toll is, like, climbing, you know. So, I mean, like I said, we'll give you we'll give you the updated information as we get it. And also, they were saying how out of those 134, 15 are in critical condition. So let's just pray for all the people that were impacted by this. You know, the families, the victims. There's so much that we still have to sift through, you know, and it's kind of sad that this has happened around the anniversary of Columbine and Virginia Tech and
Waco, Texas, I believe, as well.
Yeah, Waco, Texas, as well. So it's just one of those things that, you know, it's very, very scary that that this has happened, but it's a reality. And, you know, the issue of terrorism, whether it's domestic terrorism or national terrorism, we don't know at this point. But it's something that we really cannot, we can't let our guards down. You know, after 2001, you know, that was a horrific thing, but it's still taking place in here in the United States. And like I said, I don't want to point any fingers. I don't want to make any assumptions yet. But, you know, we don't really know if this was, you know, someone from here who carried out this attack or anything. And, Michael, you had some information, too, about the third attack. It wasn't actually an attack, but like the third bombing.
Right. As the news media started to unfold with what was taking place at the site of the marathon there in Boston, Massachusetts, about approximately 2:50 p.m., their time, which is pretty much Eastern Standard Time, which would have been 2:50 as well here in Indianapolis time. They had the two bombs go off there about 15 seconds apart in Boston, Massachusetts. In another location at the JFK Library, there was an explosion reported there. So automatically, responders had to assume that it was possibly going to be a connected event. However, investigation has proven that what occurred at the JFK Library was not what they originally thought it was. It was not really an explosion. It was a minor electrical fire in the mechanical room. So originally that kind of made us think, oh gosh, this thing is going all over the place and it's expanding out from the marathon. But so far, they don't believe that's correct.
Okay.
So it's so far just, you know, for some people that may have heard it when it first come out, just, you know, updating you to let you know, no, that was just a freak coincidence. It was just a minor fire in the electrical room. No one was injured. No one was hurt. You know, it just took out the power, and they got it under control pretty quickly.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. Before we go to our first clip, I wanted to just read you an article just summarizing the day's events. This comes from the National Post, and the title of the article is "At Least Three Dead, 134 Injured as Two Bombs Hit Boston Marathon Finish Line." And the article is brought to you. It's on the National Post, but it was written by the Associated Press and National Post staff. And this article was released at 10:11 p.m. So as far as 10:11 p.m., this is, you know, what has happened up to that point. The article reads, two bombs floated near the finish line of the prestigious Boston Marathon on Monday, killing at least three people, injuring at least 134 others, according to local reports, and sending authorities rushing aid to wounded spectators, race organizers, and police, said hospital reports. Hospital reports, at least 15 injured are in critical condition. One of the dead is an 8-year-old boy, the Boston Globe reported. Emergency room doctors were pulling ball bearings out of victims injured in the blast, CNN reported. Boston Police Commissioner Edward Davis said the two explosions occurred 50 to 100 meters apart simultaneously on the Boston Street shortly before 3 p.m. local time. So far, no one has claimed responsibility for the blast. Police asked Boston residents to stay at home and not to go any place with large crowds. Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick told reporters Monday evening that it wouldn't be business as usual in Boston Tuesday morning. There will be heightened police presence and security checks on transit, he said. The victims' injuries were described as burns, gashes, and missing limbs. quote, they just started bringing people in with no limbs, unquote, said runner Tim Davey of Richmond, Virginia. He said that he and his wife, Lisa, tried to keep their children's eyes shielded from the gruesome scene inside a medical tent that had been set up to care for fatigue runners, but, quote, they saw a lot, unquote. Quote, they just kept lifting up more and more casualties, unquote, said Lisa Davey. Most everybody was conscious. They were in a daze, unquote. There was no word on the motive or who may have launched the attack, and authorities in Washington said that there was no immediate claim of responsibility. U.S. President Barack Obama said every single federal resource necessary has been made available for Boston, but did not refer to the incident as, quote, a terrorist attack, unquote, in a carefully worded statement. He, quote, we don't have all the answers yet. Make no mistake, we will get to the bottom of this, and we will find out who did this, and we'll find out why they did this. Quote, any responsible group will feel the full weight of justice. A White House official later said the incident was being treated as terrorism. A third incident occurred at JFK Library about 4 p.m., but no injuries were reported, Davis said at the press conference Monday afternoon, but it was later clarified that it was fire-related. Davidson said numerous bags were left at the scene by the runners. Each is being treated as a possible threat. Davis said police have not called this incident a terrorist attack yet, but, quote, you can reach your own conclusions, unquote. Authorities have not identified what caused the explosives that erupted at the finish line of the Boston Marathon. An official was speaking on the condition of the anonymity because the investigation was ongoing. And pretty much the article goes on with, you know, several people that witnessed this. And I guess some more pertinent information. The blast went off at 4:10 into the marathon, which was minutes away from last year's peak time for marathon finishers. About 27,000 runners were participating in the event. And let's skip on down. U.S. Vice President Joe Biden used the word bombing to describe the incidents while speaking on a conference call on gun control, but did not indicate that he was just learning of the incident from television reports or was briefed by individuals. All right, good old Joe. Quote, apparently there has been a bombing. I just turned on the TV. I don't know any of the details, Biden said. Our prayers are with those in Boston who have suffered injuries. I don't know how many there are. As the president was being briefed on the incident, the Secretary of Service quickly expanded its security perimeter at the White House. The agency shut down Pennsylvania Avenue and cordoned off the area with yellow police tape. Secret Service patrol cars have blocked off entry points to the road. They said Davis said about 6 p.m. that Boston police did not have a suspect in custody. Competitors in the race volunteers were crying as they fled in chaos. Bloody spectators were being carried to the medical tent that had been set up to care for fatigued runners. About 3 hours later, after the winners crossed the line, there was a loud explosion on the north side of Boston Street, just before the photo bridge that marks the finish line. Another explosion could be heard seconds later. Smoke rose from the blast, fluttering through the national flag lining route of the world's oldest and most prestigious marathon. TD helicopters showed footage of a blood-stained pavement in the most popular shopping and tourist area known as Back Bay. A block away from Boston Marathon finish line, Kylie, a 28-year-old Tufts University student who declined to share his last name, was at Max Brenner's restaurant with his friends when he heard the huge crash, like, quote, something very large, a display of furniture crashed very loud to the floor. You could kind of feel the vibration. He said by phone from Boston. It wasn't until the second crash reverberated through the building that utter chaos ensued. Pretty much he said everyone freaked out. It was just like a huge panic. Everyone was out of their seats, just running around and scrambling. A bunch of people scrambled towards the restroom, and I think we realized it wasn't a good idea. I think we weren't sure if it was one of those shooting sprees or like nobody knew what was going on. And then eventually we all just bottlenecked through the back door. Chairs were just flying everywhere, blocking our paths, and everyone was trying to squish through the back. Oh, wow. This is a pretty lengthy article. I'm just trying to scoot down here and just give you some of the details. The search for people missing after the race was made difficult because heavy cell phone use caused slow and delayed service. That's kind of like what happened during 9/11. In an age connected by everything by digital, the hours after the blast produced a tense silence. Google stepped in to help family and friends of runners find their loved ones, setting up a site called Google Person Finder that allows users to enter the name of the person they're looking for or enter the information about someone who was there. A few hours after the explosion, the site indicated it was tracking 3,600 records. The runners who had not finished the race were diverted straight down Commonwealth Avenue into a family meeting area, according to the emergency plan that had been placed. Prime Minister Stephen Harper released a statement early Monday evening. Quote, I was shocked to learn of the explosions that occurred today during the running of the Boston Marathon. It is truly a sad day when an event as inspiring as the Boston Marathon is clouded by such senseless violence. British police are reviewing security plans for Sunday's London Marathon, the next major international marathon, because of the blast in Boston. London has been considered a top target for international terrorists, with the government saying that the threat level is substantial. In 2005, a series of suicide attacks on public transport systems in the British capital killed 52 people. And that's pretty much as far as I want to go with that article. But pretty much it just gives you a breakdown of what's happening. And like you said, this event has caused people even internationally to even look at this and, you know, start to question their own security measures. And also, like the article said, like with the event coming up next week, I mean, marathon that's going on next week, you know, internationally, I guess a lot of people are worried about that as well. So the threat of terrorism is far from over. You know, it's just horrific. I see some of these photos taken on the scene, and it's just, I mean, it is just devastating. It's just devastating. Yeah. It's just, and I know you had something to say about some of the photos.
Yes, I wanted to just while the some of the photos you see out there truly are, some of them are graphic, I just wanted to caution people that are out there watching. If you see it on the news program on television, it's probably legitimate. However, already tonight, myself and another friend of mine have seen different social networking sites putting up, or people posting on social networking sites, different photographs that are ghastly fabricated. For example, a friend of mine earlier I was speaking with pulled one up on her phone, and it had a very gruesome photo of a man that had the lower part of his leg absolutely mangled.
Oh, wow.
And without going into any details, while that type of injury could be consistent, I watched the live news coverage on as it rolled out. And the live news coverage, I seen that man on there. I knew that injury was not accurate. So I went to Google Images, and I found the image, the true image, not the fabricated one. So while, yes, there are some gruesome photos out there and screenshots, I would stick to the one, believing the ones you see from reputable news organizations that actually got the correct feeds, because some of the photos, I've seen more than a couple of them today that were fabricated and not accurate. So just a word of caution there, you know, and some of them are certainly not kid-friendly.
Over sensationalizing.
Yes.
Event like this, and it just always happens. Every time something major like this happens, it's always people that are press junkies, as I would call them,
mm-hmm.
that want to exploit a situation, and they want to pretty much get what they can get out of it.
The shock value, I guess.
Shock value out of it.
Yeah, and for example, one of the images I've seen, and if you do Google Images of the Boston Marathon bombing, you can pull up thousands of images. But the one was of a man wearing a two-tone gray shirt,
mm-hmm.
and he was being wheeled off by personnel in a wheelchair. And the fabricated picture had ghastly injuries. Well, yes, the man was injured, and he was probably very severely injured. The actual photo from the actual live event and the photos that are from the reputable organizations weren't near as ghastly as what had been fabricated.
Wow.
So just a little word of caution out there for our readers.
That's the day and age that we live in where everything can be photoshopped, everything can be – it's almost like to the point where you really can't tell the real from the fake. Like you said, people have that ability now
mm-hmm.
to take image and add to or subtract from the image and really put that out there. And then, like you said, they have them to put that out there. And especially during a time like this, people are just scrambling to try to find the truth. And then you're putting that out there, and you're not helping the situation out.
Right.
You know, so that's just one of those things. Like you said, just look for consistency. Any information you get, make sure it's from a credible source. Make sure, you know, that you are comparing it, you know, comparing notes and comparing, you know, even the photos. Like, just realize that a lot of what you're seeing out here on the Internet is not even real these days. You know, especially when it comes to follow, we just live in that time now where it's easy to deceive people. So you really have to be up on your game. You really have to do your research. And pretty much you have to have a sense of who's credible and who's not.
Right. And one thing I was really impressed with as far as Google goes, personally on my computer, I have google.com as my homepage, and I just clicked it on here, and you see the standard page, but right below the search box, you have resources as a clickable link. Says related to the Boston Marathon explosions. And if you click that resources button, it takes you to a page that says Google Person Finder, for the Boston Marathon explosion. It says, I'm looking for someone, or I have information about someone. It says, according to here, they are currently tracking about 4,800 records. And it has on there the phone number for the mayor's hotline for family and victims. And it does have the Boston police line for witnesses who may have information. And it also has a link to the Red Cross Safe and Well program. So maybe if there would be anyone listening here outside of Indiana, maybe on the East Coast, and are a little curious, you know, those are, you know, some resources out there. And there were a very large number of Indiana runners participating in that race today.
Okay, I just want to take a brief pause right here and let people know if you want to call in. I know we totally changed the format of the show at the last minute, so things seem like they're jumping all over the place. That's why we really changed the format of the program at the last moment, because I kind of felt that this was more important tonight. We will pick back up with the show that we intended on Wednesday night, but I just really want to get this together tonight, discuss this, let you guys know what's been going on. Like I said, I'm just learning about a lot of this stuff myself, you know, in the past couple hours. So, you know, we're just trying to learn and educate and inform you guys as we, as, you know, details develop. And I really, you know, we got a couple of clips I want you to play that I want to play tonight, kind of like outlining what's been going on. I want to start out with the President Obama, Obama's response to everything. And I grabbed this clip, and I hope that you guys are able to hear it. And then following that, I want to kind of play a clip from the Associated Press. Outlining the event. And also, we're going to get to a little later, we're going to hear some clips from the some of the people that were around, and just how a lot of them, you know, just what they saw and how they're coping with stuff. So we have about three clips I want to play. We're going to, you know, discuss things in between each clip. So I just wanted to start off with President Obama and his response. And we'll be back, and we'll be ready to discuss it.
Good afternoon, everybody. Earlier today, I was briefed by my security team in Boston. We're continuing to monitor and respond to the situation as it unfolds. We're directing full resources to the federal government to help state and local authorities protect our people, increase security around the United States as necessary, and investigate what happened. The American people will say a prayer for Boston tonight. Michelle and I have spent our deepest thoughts and prayers to the families and victims in the way that this event was lost. We don't yet have all the answers, but we do know that multiple people have been wounded, some gravely, in explosions at the Boston Marathon. I've spoken to FBI Director Mueller and Secretary of Homeland Security Napolitano, and they're mobilizing the appropriate resources to investigate and to respond. I've updated leaders of Congress and both parties, and we reaffirmed that on days like this there are no Republicans or Democrats. We are Americans united in concern for our fellow citizens. I've also spoken with Governor Patrick and Mayor Menino and made it clear that they have every single federal resource necessary to care for the victims and counsel the families. And above all, I made clear to them that all Americans stand with the people of Boston. Boston police, firefighters, and first responders, as well as the National Guard, responded heroically and continue to do so as we speak. It's a reminder that so many Americans serve and sacrifice on our behalf every single day without regard to their own safety in dangerous and difficult circumstances. And we salute all those who assisted in responding so quickly and professionally to this tragedy. We still do not know who did this or why, and people shouldn't jump to conclusions before we have all the facts. But make no mistake, we will get to the bottom of this, and we will find out who did this, and we'll find out why they did this. Any response?
All right. I just wanted to come back Probably going to have to come back on next show with a better audio clip, but pretty much as if you could make out, like we were saying earlier when we were discussing his what he said in the press conference, he says he is, like he said, he's totally committed to finding who did this and why they did this, which, I mean, is no justifiable act, but we just, you know, just giving the people answers. And he is, well, you know, he is ready to allocate all the resources possible in carrying out that mission as well. So that was just like a clip from the press conference. I'm going to try to get a better quality one. Like I said, I was just in a rush to try to upload like a couple clips tonight, and I didn't realize how poor quality that was. But we will come back on our Wednesday night episode, and we're gonna briefly talk about this on Wednesday night. But I'm gonna try to have a better quality sounding clip for you guys. But I guess we can jump to really quick. I'm gonna jump to.
I'll say if you like, I may have one here that was the actual statement released by the Boston.
Okay. Yeah, that'll work.
Yeah, Boston Police Commissioner. It's about a minute and 36 seconds long. It comes from the Bloomberg TV, off of one of their YouTube posts. And it's, I believe his name's Ed Davis, the Boston Police Department's commissioner, police commissioner, giving a statement here over what they had today.
Okay. Do you want to get that ready? Or do you have that now? Because I can go to the next clip, and then you can give that statement when we come back, or how do you want to do that?
Whichever. I've got it pulled up now, but it can wait.
Okay. Well, I'll just go ahead and play what I got from the Associated Press. I'm just kind of giving the outline of events. I know we've already discussed this, but I just wanted to play this. It kind of sums up everything. And then when we come back, I'll have you read the statement, and then I want to jump into some of the reactions from the crowd. So here we go as we listen to what the current events for today.
The first blast happened just a few feet from the finish line for the 23,000 people registered for the Boston Marathon. Thousands had already crossed the line by the time the explosion went off, but many were still running the 26.2-mile course. Witnesses described horrific injuries, many people with limbs blown off.
Here is Miss Yates. Look, watching across the street. We saw the first bomb go off. Blow up in the street.
The second blast went off about 100 yards away, nearly simultaneous with the first.
Get out of the zone.
AP has learned that two other explosive devices were found nearby.
I don't know why anyone would do something like this. Just take something so pleasant and turn it into so horrible.
Make no mistake, we will get to the bottom of this, and we will find out who did this.
The FBI has joined Boston and Massachusetts officials in working the case, trying to figure out who is responsible for the deaths and injuries.
There was no specific intelligence. We certainly increase our posture around a big event like this. All of those things happened in preparation for this event, but there was no specific intelligence that anything was going to happen.
Meanwhile, officials warned the public to stay indoors and stay away from crowds. Matt Friedman, Associated Press.
All right, we're back. You had that statement ready to read?
Yeah, it's a video clip.
Okay.
Or I think we should be.
Okay.
Like I said, this comes from Bloomberg TV. It's off of their YouTube post. About a minute and 36 seconds or long. I believe his name is Ed Davis, I think. He's the police commissioner for the city of Boston, Massachusetts.
Thank you, Governor. At 2:50 p.m. today, there were simultaneous explosions that occurred along the route of the Boston Marathon near the finish line. These explosions occurred 50 to 100 yards apart, and each scene resulted in multiple casualties. At this point in time, all of the victims have been removed from the scene. We have sent officers to hospitals to be in touch with family members and possible witnesses. We immediately activated a system of response that the Commonwealth of Massachusetts and the federal government has in place for these type of incidents. My first two calls were to the special agent in charge of the FBI and to the colonel of the state police. Both Rick DeLaurier and Tim Albans immediately sent resources. We have, at this point in time, determined that there has been a third incident that has occurred. There was an explosion that occurred at the JFK library. So this is very much an ongoing event at this point in time. We are not certain that these incidents are related, but we are treating them as if they are. We're recommending to people that they stay home, that if they're in hotels in the area, that they return to their rooms, and that they don't go anyplace and congregate in large crowds.
Okay. That was from Bloomberg TV, their YouTube posting. And just to add that that was approximately 5 to 5:30, I think, because I actually watched that statement live this evening. And since then, they did determine that the JFK incident was not a bombing. It was an unrelated thing. It was a small electrical incident. But other than that, everything else is still relevant to the history.
I guess it's important to, to also add, like they mentioned in the clip, like they're wanting the people just to stay on a high sense of, just to be alert and just exercise caution, stay in, try to, refrain from staying, congregating in large groups or traveling in large groups, because at this point, they don't know what's going on.
Right.
And at this point, like, we don't know if at all that, if this individual's still out here or if they're going to attack again. So I guess, it's just one of those things, we'll have to just stay tuned in to see. I guess people will be a lot more relieved when they know more information. Right now everybody's clueless. Everybody doesn't know what's going on, the basic who, what, where, when, and why, and how, So I guess it's one of those things with any terrorist thing. You have to really just be aware of your surroundings and just use some caution. Right now, we do have a caller online. I believe it's JR.
Yes.
JR, hello?
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on?
Yeah. Oh, man, I tell you what, today I am in a rage. There are a few days in my life when I can say I am in a full rage mode, and today's one of them days.
It just seems, I don't know what's going on. Especially this time of year, I guess we're celebrating. Not celebrating, but this is like the anniversary of the Virginia Tech, around the time of Virginia Tech incident happened, the Oklahoma City bombing, the Columbine incident. It just seems like this time of year, there's always something going on. But it just seems like lately, it's just been one thing after another. Just when you think that we've seen the worst, there's always something else that's happening. And I'm just so sick of these cowards. And if your life is that miserable and you're that pathetic, check your own stuff out.
I highly doubt that any of these jackals are reading my Facebook posts.
Sure.
But I'm more than happy to put my address out there and let them come over to my house. If they have that much of disrespect for human life, let them come over. I'll make their wish come true. I got no problem doing that. One of the casualties today was an 8-year-old child. And that's what my youngest son is 8 years old. So it's plus, on top of things, I got two nieces of mine that live in the Boston metro area.
So now, this pretty much hits at home. How does that make you feel, being a father, like you said, of a child that's 8 years old, and then you having relatives and especially young relatives that live in the area? How does that make you feel?
I'm fully enraged. You know, I'm at the point with this now where I'm sick of it. I mean, to call these people cowards is disrespecting the title of a coward. Even animals have got that much of at least a little bit of respect towards life. You know, these people are scavengers, is what they are. They're like the buzzards, just throwing it to the lowest common denominator. You know, the way I look at it is like this. They need to find these people that done this. They need to go ahead and try them beyond reasonable doubt, okay? And to me, justice sets out a message. To me, these people ought to be taken downtown Boston and be put in a dang public execution, maybe even stoned to death out there. I don't give a dang what race they are. I don't give a dang, you know, what the religious belief. I don't care. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of it overseas. I'm tired of it here in the home front. You know, I'm tired of the Timothy McVeighs and these punk-ass kids that weren't hugged enough and decided to freaking go out and shoot up a school. I'm tired of this.
Yep.
You know, there's still excuses for it.
And J.R.,
I'm sorry.
For your own family. Have you had any contact with your family today that lives in that area?
But, I got two nieces that live over there.
Yeah, have you had any?
Yeah, they're good. They're good. They weren't even in the area when it happened.
Okay. That's...
Ironically, they were talking about going there. But, you know, they were... Now, did you know also, after the explosion, then they did the JFK library about an hour and a half after they... announced the JFK library thing. They announced that it was a fire, you know, that it wasn't part of that. It wasn't related at all. But they have found three other explosive devices that were destroyed by the police department over there.
They found three more?
They found three since the explosion.
Now, and see, I was searching for news articles on that, and a lot of them weren't very finite on their details. I know that one of them they had, because the police are taking any suspicious package and automatically detonating it just to be on the safe side, and I had heard that some of those were controlled incendiaries that they had done for safety precautions, but I still haven't seen the finite stuff on all that yet. I was still looking.
I heard that. They were saying even like some of the runners that left their backpacks or bags behind, they're viewing those as potential threats too. They're leaving no stone unturned at this point. So, you know, it's just one of those things where everybody's at a heightened sense of alert right now, and they're trying to urge people just to stay in so the police can do what they have to do, and just they're just trying to keep everybody's safety at the top of the list right now as far as things are concerned. So
you and I were talking over the weekend. I told you a little comical thing that I was going to bring up today, but we'll save that for another
time. We'll save that for Wednesday night.
But yeah, man, I'm telling you, it would not be justice if they end up finding these people and then publicly, you know, just publicly try them, and if found guilty, publicly execute them right in the middle of the town. It wouldn't be justice otherwise.
No, that's too much like the right, though. But I mean, but what do you have to say about, you know, do you think that, does this further prove the point that domestic terrorism is still, is not a thing of the past? We still have to be on alert about that?
Well, that's just the thing. I mean, by definition, I guess it would be domestic terrorism.
Sir, that was something I wanted to ask you. You do have prior military experience, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought you had. Do you think that this is a domestic terrorism, or do you think this has any type of clues to it, to like an international terrorist group?
In all honesty, no, it's hard to say. From what I've seen, you know, here's the best way to explain it. From what I've seen, you have got right now, it's still way out in the open. There are certain signatures that were in these explosives they're investigating on that would give them clues as to who done it. No one has claimed responsibility. Now, the Jordanian, some fundamentalist, extreme fundamentalist jihadist group in Jordan, it was just on USA Today's website, was applauding the terror attacks in Boston, but didn't take responsibility, okay? Now, what you have with the Boston Marathon is the largest land race, foot race in the world. It's a world event. It isn't just, a U.S. thing. It's a world event. So that's why it's hard to say. Because this could have been to hit any certain person. It could have been just as easily as to target one single person. You know what I'm saying? I can't and wouldn't say until I were to see all the facts come out, you know?
Still too early then to come to any type of a speculation on that.
Yeah, terror is terror, whether it's international or whether it's domestic. You know, Timothy McVeigh was no different in my eyes than, the members of Al-Qaeda that hit the Twin Towers, and, you know, it's a sickening, cowardly act.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what the reason. The loss of life is up to 3 now. I think the last number they brought out was about 180 people injured, and one of the deaths was an 8-year-old child. You know, it's ridiculous. You know, I can't think of one single excuse. You know, they're investigating. I did hear something about that Homeland Security is investigating all the domestic militia groups as well, mm-hmm. to see if they've had some kind of act in this.
Yeah.
And given your prior military experience and working with federal agencies, and I know this is probably really going out on a limb, but how long do you think it usually takes for them to formulate at least a halfway solid lead in a particular direction?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. What'd you say? What was the question?
Given your prior experience with military and whatnot, do you have an idea of approximately how long it takes them to run enough testing to get maybe a possible lead in a particular direction?
I honestly would not expect it to be all that long. I'd say within a week, you know, they would have a very solid lead. You got to remember, since 9/11, Boston being one of them cities, has fortified itself with audio and video systems along the street. So there's video of the people that's being investigated right now by the FBI, CIA, and ATF, that there's video of the people dropping, you know, the explosive device. They just can't come out and say it.
And let me jump in here
real
quick, JR. That is a good point, because you even look at, like, a lot of the major metropolitan cities, a lot of the bigger cities, even Indianapolis, they are now at the point where they're installing to cut back on crime and to solve a lot of unsolved murders and homicides and things of that nature, just to cut down, or just kind of, I don't want to say intimidate the people into not committing crimes. They have a lot of those, like you said, those cameras on every street, or at least main intersections. And they're, you know, now we're in an age of, you know, in an age now where, you know, everything, there's no such thing as privacy. I mean, you're not going to get by. So I believe, like you said, I do agree that with Boston, like you said, being the metropolitan city that it is, and I believe that they will find out who did it. And on top of that, when you think about most of the times when people commit acts like that, they want you to kind of know, especially if it was like a major terrorist, like, or an international terrorist organization that carried out that crime, they're not going to just do that. They want, eventually they're going to come out and say, hey, it was us. Like, they want you to know who was responsible for carrying that out. Just like with 9/11, it didn't take them long to figure out that, you know, Bin Laden had something to do with that. You see what I'm saying? And they figured out really quick that they were the ones that were responsible behind that World Trade Center attack. So if it was, they're going to make a point, and they're going to want you to know, for one, if it was an international or domestic thing. Like, people are not going to go too long with it. They're not going to do something like that, because the arrogance of people is going to want to come out of it and let people know, hey, I was the one that was behind that, and this was the point I was trying to make. So do you think that there's some validity behind that?
I'm sorry, my battery was down, so I had to connect the phone to the charger. What was the question?
No, what I'm saying is, do you think that, just like 9/11, we found out quickly who was responsible behind the terrorists, do you think it's going to be the same with this? Because most people are going to want to put their name on that, on something that big, and they're going to want you to know why they did that.
I think, based on 9/11, it took almost a week for Al-Qaeda to come out and say, hey, it was us. But, you know, prior to that, very few people had heard of Al-Qaeda, you know. I think that it's gonna come out. I'd say within a week, the government will know which way to look. But they're not going to come out and say it. They can't. Because the last thing you want is to let the people know, hey, we're coming for you, you know?
Right.
It's not going to happen. The FBI database, you know, they once they get a picture, they'll run through the FBI database, and, yeah, I mean, we're talking supercomputers here, you know, with profiles of people from around the world, you know? So they'll have a link in a matter of days. You know, now, I'll say this, we'll never know why, you know, and you're going to have a bunch of idiots come out saying, oh, that was us, you know, Allah Akbar, you know, whatever, we did it, you know, when actually they didn't go, they're just looking for attention, you know, that the main groups are staying out of it. This is a smaller group, in my opinion, this is a smaller group trying to gain notoriety, like maybe a subsection of Al-Qaeda that's getting ignored, you know? If you ask my opinion, you know, it could just as easily be some disgruntled, you know, person out there because Obama's president. We know we've seen plenty of them psychos around, you know? But it's like I said, there's a right way to do things, there's a wrong way to do things. And you don't go victimizing people.
Joe, I had a question because I was looking today. I had a question, or I want your insight on this. I was looking at some news clips online, and I was watching a clip from the Young Turks, to very, very well-known online. They're more progressive. They cover things from a progressive point of view. And they brought up a point today in one of their videos about the rise of domestic jihadism, I guess you would call it. And they were using the group, the Aryan Brotherhood, for an example, and how they have grown to the point that they have, there used to be a gang that was that formed within the prison system, but now they are growing to the point where that gang has kind of infiltrated outside the walls of the prison system, and they have gotten to the point they've grown so much to where they have, especially in Texas, to where they have so much power to where local legislators are afraid to even prosecute them, and they have committed all kinds of acts outside of prison. They've had people murdered. They've had people, pretty much they're terrorizing people outside of the prison system, and they were using them as one of the groups, because we always talk about how Mex-like gangs and stuff like that have ran and taken over, like, Mexico, and how, like, certain, you know, groups like that, jihadist groups have taken over certain countries, but people think that they have, that hasn't happened here in the United States. And do you think with that, especially with this act, terrorism, and what we know about groups like the Aryan Brotherhood and other people like that, do you think that we are now starting to see, going to see a trend of domestic terrorist groups or gangs or people that are going to even overrun or override the government here, or like that are going to bring terror to different cities and stuff like that? Do you think we're going to see a trend of that?
I absolutely do. You know, like you were saying, Texas right now, in South Texas, in areas that are like Hidalgo and El Paso or where Juarez is, you know, there are civil wars going on within the city, you know, from Mexican mafias and other gangs, you know, fighting each other for power. Now, in other areas, you know, such places, criminals such as the Aryan Brotherhood has come up. You know, they're more along the lines of like a Houston and, you know, in Colorado, there's factions of it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, they are definitely rising to power, especially within the prison system. I believe there was a big story here not that a couple of weeks ago about they ended up finding out that it was a hit from within the prison on the prison staff, like the warden and the sheriff and all that. Yeah, I absolutely do. You know, and you know, the thing is that's nothing new. That's been going on, you know, back during the Civil Rights era with the Ku Klux Klan. You know, it took infiltration from the government, getting some informants in there to start breaking them apart, you know, and that's what is probably going on with it. But believe me, the government knows what these people are up to. That is why I do my gut instinct. That is exactly why my gut instinct is telling me that this is a foreign attack on us, you know?
Yeah.
Because, on anything, any of them other domestic groups, it would have been raided and busted long before that, you know?
Let me ask you this. I'm sorry. Well, I wanted to ask you this. what ramifications do you think this will have on the Obama administration? Do you think this is one of the quote-unquote George Bush moments to where he had to deal with the issue of 9/11? Do you think that this is going to have ramifications on his administration, how people view him, and is he going to have to take some really, is he going to have to really, this time he's really going to have to think things through?
Yeah, I think President Obama is going to face a lot of criticism.
Yeah.
The reason I think that is because, and before I say what I'm about to say, I'm going to say that I thought in his speech he handled it perfectly. Okay?
Yeah.
He handled it before he knew that it was a terrorist act or whatever. He didn't specify. He said, we're going to investigate and this and that, All right. Now, it's the aftermath of what's going to come. Is he going to call it an act of terrorism? Is he going to go after them, I think if the president doesn't, it will absolutely, this will be the kryptonite that absolutely tarnishes his administration altogether,
Because
he just got over the Benghazi scandal, Where it just finally got put in the back burner, and now this, And at the same token, if you look at it from a conspiracy theorist point of view, this could very easily be one of them, ultra-right-wing factions out there going on trying to make the president look bad, Because in all honesty, I'm going to say this. This was an apprentice explosive, The reason I say that is because anyone with any kind of experience, for three people to have died, as many people as were in the area during the time of the explosion, and only three deaths, and again, I'm not belittling the deaths at all. They're tragic, and it's cowardly act. But this was an apprentice that built this bomb. You see what I'm saying?
It was a what?
This was an apprentice. This was a rookie trying to make a name for himself. But the Obama administration is going to have to come after them, guns blazing. Anything left, it's not going to be enough.
You'll have to make an example out of him.
Absolutely.
And
But once again, I will say I thought in his speech the president handled it perfectly the way he should have. Just lay out the facts that he knows as of that point,
and
go on from there.
You're not one of those people that are trying to say this, that, and the other, making a bunch of promises, making a bunch of statements that you know that aren't true. Just be honest with the people. That's all he wants you to be. Be honest with them. Let them know.
Absolutely.
You don't know.
See, you got a bunch of the right wingers right now going out there criticizing the president for not calling it an act of terrorism. Well, by definition, yes, it is an act of terrorism. But as of that time, they still didn't know if it was a water main explosion or, someone busting an old city. It has gases coming up through its sewer line. And it has underground electrical lines. It happened here in Indy not that long ago, about 5 months ago. There was an explosion in downtown Indy from the sewer line, but the gas had built up, and there was a short in the electrical wiring, and, boom. So, they still didn't know, which is why the president handled it the way he did.
And
I thought
think
he did a great
that was
job.
One of the better things he put in there when he said, we got to act once we have all the facts.
Yeah. Exactly right. Exactly right.
However, once he went back behind the curtain in the White House, he pulled all those heads of state and all those national security people and FBI heads together and said, I want somebody's ass on a platter now.
Yeah. Well, hopefully he said that. We don't know if he did.
Yeah, I'm about sure.
Let's hope that our president said that. I would like to think that he still has the balls and he didn't have to go ask for Michelle for them.
She got him in a nice pickled jar.
But
nice pickled jar to nuts.
Hello,
guys. We have another caller, and I want them to jump in if they want. Caller 210-577, do you have a question or a comment, or are you just listening at this point?
Yeah. Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah, I'm just listening in right now, but I have a little comment that I want to share. You know, calling this explosion an act of, you know, the gas lines, you know, I think is an insult to the people who were injured and died over there today.
Who said that? Nobody said that.
Well, you were saying that earlier, guy, so.
No.
Don't try to justify. No, wait. You know, these people died today, and it was an act of terrorism. That's all it was, man.
I believe it was given as an example of what the government was using to gather all the information. It was never alluded to be as a cause.
Well, you know, saying it's a government conspiracy isn't doing much either, boy.
I don't think
right now.
Nobody, hold on, wait a minute. Nobody said that, and obviously you must have just tuned in.
Listen, before you open your mouth again, okay, this government conspiracy thing is out of hand.
I tell you what, don't get smart, because I'll hang up on games, first of all. We don't play that on this show. And obviously,
okay, well, this whole thing.
And before you want to call in, and make some rash statement that you don't know what you're talking about, I suggest you listen before you open your mouth. How about that?
Y'all tell.
I'm not gonna waste some more time with you. I'm gonna hang up on you because you ain't talking.
Y'all
about
tell me what y'all.
Yeah, whatever. Goodbye. I don't play that.
You know, it's what happens when you only pay attention to part of the conversation.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you could have called in and said, well, I'm still listening. Let me gather my thoughts. Instead, you're going to say that we said it was a governmental conspiracy. That did not come out of our – nobody said it.
No. I mean, I made a mention on what a conspiracy theory would have think about it, but, you know, that's as far as it went, you know?
Yeah, I think he failed to listen to only about 30 seconds.
Yeah, and then you're going to come on my show and think you're going to get smart with me? Oh, no. I mean, you can be respectful and have a different, you know, but for you to come on here with that negative attitude and you're pointing things already and saying we said this and we said that and you're going to tell me to be quiet? I said, no. I'll run this.
You can't do too much about them.
And you know what? Another perfect example saying why people need to have all the facts.
Exactly. That's just pure ignorance.
Yep.
Just pure ignorance. You know, we were just talking about nobody saying it wasn't, nobody saying it. You know what I'm saying? It's just like I just wish people would listen before they open their mouth.
And if you're unsure, ask why would you say something like that? Mm-hmm. Of the water main break, you know, I would have been more than happy to re-say what I said.
Yeah, we were just talking about how he just carefully handled the situation. It could have been anything to start off with. I mean, but for you to just jump on here and say that that's what we said, you obviously didn't listen to the whole conversation.
Right, I mean, I think that, you know, obviously the viewpoint of this show is nothing but respect and reverence and heartfelt sorrow for what the people went through out there.
Exactly. You know, and that's my thing. Out of all this whole the whole history of doing this show, I have never had to hang up on anybody. I've never had this happen before. Like, after the whole show. And we've had people with all types of opinions on this show. Like, we've had people with, things I didn't agree with, some of the callers didn't agree with, but it was just one of those things where we could be adults and talk about things, and I've never had to hang up on somebody. You see what I'm saying?
Mm.
Speaking of which, I think we just lost JR.
But that, like you said, Michael, that goes to show you that's what's wrong with our society today. We always want to jump in on something, or we always want to comment on something without researching or having the facts before we do so.
Yep. Did we have any more news updates? I've been kind of combing the internet while we're on here. I haven't found any more updates yet.
Yeah, I wanted to play a clip of some of the reactions from the people that were there. I think it was a brief clip. Let me see if I can find that. Okay, here we go. Okay. All right, we're going to go to this clip. It's only like a minute and 13 seconds, but it is from the Associated Press, and it's entitled Tears and Anger After Boston Marathon Explosions. It's very sad, very, you know, one of those really heartfelt type of things. So I just wanted to want you guys to hear some of the reactions that were live, you know, right after this bombing.
We were in the VIP seating. There's like walking across the street. We saw the first bomb go off. Blow up in the street. Well, right now I'm waiting for my 10 teenagers to get back. But we were worried that my friend was going to go off in the stand for a I don't really want to talk about it anymore.
I went to get in the stands and there was an explosion. And just white smoke all in the air. It was horrible. I don't know why anyone would do something like this. Just take something so pleasant and turn it so horrible. It's unbelievable. What goes through people's minds, it really is.
You know, you just put all this hard work, and it's such a positive day. You know, to have something like this happen, and you know, if you take all the fun out of it, and it's such the best marathon in the world. And also my brother served in the National Guard in Afghanistan 3 years ago, and it's going to get something like that.
Okay, I know it's kind of hard to hear, but that, like I said, this happened right after the bombing, and it was just all kind of mayhem in the street. They were just asking people about how they felt. It was just like I don't know if you heard one of the ladies. She said one of the ladies saying this is just like this term. This started off to be a pretty positive day, and then it just ended up like this, you know. So it was one of those things. Nobody in their right mind would have expected this to happen. You know, so this, I mean.
I just done a quick update here, and CNN posted an article 42 minutes ago with the latest statistics. If you are, whenever you're ready to go over those.
Okay. Yeah. And I kind of have a timeline of events, too, once you get done with that.
Okay.
Go ahead.
This was just posted 42 minutes ago, so while we've been doing the show, it was from CNN, still the death toll is still at 3, but 144 are being treated, 17 critical, 25 serious. And at least 8 of those patients are children.
Oh, wow.
And at least 10 people injured had limbs amputated.
Mm.
That is according to CNN, and that was posted 42 minutes ago.
Oh, wow. And here's just a couple. I had some things up to close to 10 o'clock, and it just breaks down what happened at what time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to start. I'm not going to start back too early because a lot of the stuff, you know, if we go back too early, a lot of things that weren't confirmed at that point. But I'm going to start off like around 7:54 p.m. Update of CNN started to report there were 132 injured. At 8:12 p.m., NBC reports one of the persons of interest in the bombing is a, quote, young person here on a student visa, unquote. 8/13, CNN reports at least 10 amputations have been performed on victims of the bombing. 8/19, via Business Insider, FBI and Boston Police held a press conference, were scheduled to hold a press conference at 8:30 p.m. 8:35 p.m., via Wall Street Journal, officials have found 5 additional undetonated explosive devices in the Boston area. 8:40, via NBC, the ages of those injured range from 3 to age 62. 8:47, live press conference, Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick speaking. The National Guard has secured the crime scene and will limit access to it. 8:50, live press conference, Boston Police Commissioner Edward Davis speaking. 3 confirmed dead. He says there is no suspect at Brigham in Women's Hospital, contrary to reports. The FBI, 8:59, the FBI set up a 1-800-CALL-FBI prompt number 3 for anyone who has information, visual images, and or details regarding the explosions along the Boston Marathon route and elsewhere. So, by the way, I mean, I don't know if anybody's listening on the East Coast or anything, but once again, I'm going to give that number out, 1-800-CALL-FBI, or if you want to know the number, actual number is 1-800-225-5324, prompt 3. 9:40 p.m., via Wall Street Journal, investigators now doubt that the 5 additional suspected explosive devices found were indeed bombs, which that's a good thing. And that is an update at 11 p.m. Federal, state, and Boston police are searching a Revere apartment building. So I guess they're investigating an apartment building where they think that it has something tied to that. So that's the latest that we have as far as 11 p.m. So for those who want to know this, like, they're keeping things up to date. It comes from heavynews.com. And it's pretty much a good site. It's breaking down things from, you know, start to finish. And I think that's a good. I'm gonna bookmark this page and follow it myself. But I just wanted to share with you guys the events broken down up to the 11 o'clock hour. So I didn't know if you had anything else. I think we got JR back. JR, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I knew you got disconnected after a while. I know he'll call right back, so. Yeah, man,
I'm sorry. I'm sitting here driving down 65. I get a few dead zones on the way.
Yeah, we know how you are. The late night creep, you know what I'm saying? So, I'm just playing. But yeah, it's just really sad. Yeah. I don't know, man. It was just that call really, really had set up. Did you have anything else you wanted to add or you wanted to say tonight in general? Because I know you had a lot to say.
Man, I'm in a state, like I said, me personally, I'm in a state of rage. To address these people as cowards is just way too much. Giving them too much, you know, they're animals. Whatever it was, whatever religious faction they were, whatever political faction they were, that they're animals. You know, it's like I said, to go after innocent life the way they did, it's just beyond me, you know. It truly is. It blows my mind away. You know, what could go so wrong in someone's life that they decide to do something like this?
Yeah.
And then, at the same time, though, I sit there and I think about this, right? And I realize, you know, here we are. We live in the United States. We have the finest of luxuries around the world. And how lucky that we are to live in such a country. This is a daily thing, sometimes even hourly in certain countries, you know?
Yeah.
So we're extremely lucky to be here and blessed. Now we just need to keep, you know, people of Boston in our prayers and the victims, you know, hopefully there won't be any more casualties. And hopefully, you know, the law enforcement has found all the explosive devices that are out there. You know, maybe there's more.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, that little things about it tell me that this is an apprentice trying to make a name for himself.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, the fact that only two exploded and they found five total, including the two that exploded, you know? There were five and only two exploded. That tells me it was an apprentice. You know, the low number of casualties, this could have been a lot worse than what it was.
Yeah.
And that's not a single thing away from the tragedy that it is. You know? But thank God that it wasn't worse, you know? It to me, it hits me on many different fronts. And, it ain't just because I have an 8-year-old child. It ain't just because I have family over there. You know, I can think of three ex-girlfriends that run marathons that have ran the Boston Marathon at some point in their lives. And I haven't gotten a hold of them. I don't know if they are out there right now, you know? One of them is, you've heard me speak about my best friend from the Marines. One of them's his cousin, who I dated for a while. You know, so I haven't heard, you know, I'm sure if she would have been out there, you know, my buddy would have let me know. But, you know, everything seems to be in check so far on that aspect of it. But, you know, this hits the families of the people that were affected. It hits the people that were affected, you know? Here we are, you know, 12 years after 9/11. And, you know, just basically about, 5 years ago, life really started being normal again.
Yeah.
And now, you know, here we are, back to square one.
Yeah. And so do you think in that sense, do we really have to get serious about terrorism, whether it's here or overseas? Do we have to really keep our sense of alert up? Like, can we ever get comfortable with, you know, with things being normal, supposedly? I mean, is it always a threat, you think? I mean, and is this a sign that we need to really stay on top of this stuff?
I believe that life as we knew it prior to 9/11 is over.
Yes.
I really do. I believe that, you know, I believe that right now the government should start doing background checks on every person. you know. There's just too many, you know. Prior to 9/11, what we had to worry about was, you know, some of us remembered it. Some of us remember this. Some of us remember the Unabomber. You know, far and few in between, but there were a few deaths. You know, but the deaths were just at the wrong place at the wrong time. The Unabomber only went after properties. He didn't necessarily go after people. You know? Yeah. There were just certain lines that never got crossed. But, you know, this year, I really think this is changing it all. I was listening to the local news in Indianapolis and on the radio, and at 93.1, they were interviewing the mayor, and they were interviewing the governor, and they were interviewing the chief of police, and our mini marathon's coming up in like 3 weeks. And they were interviewing the people in charge of that, and how all this is now going to affect that.
Yeah.
Odds are Indianapolis is not a target, except for one event that we have, and that's the Indy 500.
Yeah.
Because, when, you know, just like the Boston Marathon is, the Indy 500 is to racing what the Boston Marathon is to, you know, foot races, you know? It's the name in racing. Now, I would definitely expect, you know, more cops now. I definitely expect, you know, less tolerance towards crime, which
it's
a good thing. But it's going to get silly about it, you know, where the innocent law-abiding citizen will end up getting targeted because of profiling, whether it's racial profiling, religious profiling, or whatever. We're all eventually gonna get targeted, you know.
But do you think that, given the circumstances, and I take no position on this, I'm just throwing this out as a question, that I think maybe people should, you know, people in general should contemplate, given the necessities and given the situation and the climate of the circumstances, at what point consider a little bit more intrusion to be acceptable in the interest of overall public safety?
Me personally, I'm against it. You know, I don't want the government knowing my business. You know, I like it that way. You know, but if you recall here, what was it about? A month ago, I believe, 2 weeks, a month ago, they were talking about the United States, the federal government was talking about passing a bill to use surveillance drones on our own citizens,
yeah,
you know, to investigate. Now, we don't know what they're investigating, you know, but we don't know. But I don't want that. Now, you know, what's next? And next thing you know, I mean, it was 5 years ago when the CIA stopped doing executions. You know, there was a 20-year gap between when they stopped it at the end of the Cold War, and then they started it back up after 9/11. You know, and just about 5 years ago is when they stopped it again, you know. So it's a tough call, man. I don't want it. I don't want the government knowing what I'm doing. But then again, I'm not doing anything that should attract any kind of attention.
Yeah. So, what do you have to say about the people that hear you? What do you have to say about people that would hear you say that, and they would think, well, if you don't have anything, if you're not doing anything illegal, then why would what's the big concern? What would you say to people that have that type of mindset when it comes to this government?
What I would say that is this. Benjamin Franklin stated a long time ago that those that are willing to give up their freedoms don't deserve them in the first place. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? I don't want it. I'm not doing anything illegal. They can come check me as long as they're doing it by the law. Okay? Right. They start changing the laws and taking away your freedom. There's no reversing that. You know? There isn't. Because then people grow accustomed to it. You know? The only exception in history, in U.S. history, to that has been prohibition, where they took away your freedom to drink alcohol and then eventually got overturned. You know? It's the only time in history where freedom got taken away and brought back.
Wow.
But, you know, just like the Bush era, people bashed on Bush. Remember, people bashed on Bush after 9/11, talking about the Patriot Act, how invasive it was. At first, everyone was for it, but when it came to light how invasive it truly was, people were against it. And now we're going to give all that up again? No. Just let it be.
What?
The government just has got to do a more thorough background check on the people entering our country.
Yeah, that's true.
They have the technology. They have the technology. Believe me, if you are on their database, they know when you wiped your ass last. You know?
Ooh.
They know. There's a reason why we have institutions like the CIA, the DEA, the ATF, the FBI. There were original reasons, and their responsibilities were expanded. For example, the Secret Service. Secret Service was originally there to watch over mail fraud, you know, and train
robbers.
That's what the Secret Service was all about. And now they protect the president and all these congressmen and senators. Now, you know, the FBI. FBI was formed to find Lindbergh's baby. That was the whole purpose of the FBI, to have a federal bureau to investigate, you know, crimes of high-profile crimes. The CIA's original purpose was to make sure the FBI was doing their job. Yeah,
right.
And they became a unit of spies, what they are now, intelligence. You know? And since then, we've expanded to the DEA during the 90s, or the 80s, and, you know, 8 came out in the 90s. You know, during the arms trades, during the Iran-Iraq war, you know, remember that whole Ali North Iran-Contra scandal? That was the ATF. So,
wow.
You know, I don't want to see any more expansions of government. I don't. You know, I don't want them.
Do you think that we have enough resources, if properly managed, to handle the situations, say, that the country faces?
I absolutely do.
Okay.
I believe that this is going to be probably the most messed up thing you ever hear me say. I believe that, you know, they need to, you know, with these background checks, they need to They know where these people are, okay? So what we brought them here, you know, we brought them here. Like after the first Iraq War, we started bringing some of these people that would rat on Saddam Hussein and give us intelligence, and we'd reward them. Now look what we have, you know. But they know where these people are. But what about their cousins that keep coming over? You know, that's the thing, is the people that are coming in under the radar that end up moving from, you know, some hostile area in Syria on up to, like, England, live there for a decade, get a British visa, and then come over. They're not going to look at them because, oh, they're British, you know? But we do have that technology. We absolutely do. We fund it to ridiculous amounts. We're not putting it to use, though.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, how do they know? How do they keep track of the small-time people, like the petty thieves and the small-time drug dealer on the street corner of, like, 16th and Lafayette, okay? First that has grown up friggin', you know, like 100 people in an explosion in Jerusalem that has stuck into our country. It's ridiculous. You can't tell me it goes both ways, because it don't. They just don't want to do it to keep getting the funding. They want to underspend to get more money.
Mm-hmm.
And then with expansions of government comes expansions in the taxing. Because it's our taxes that fund these.
Yeah.
You know? These government entities. So the more the government expands, the higher we're all going to get taxed.
So let me ask you this. What things do you think, I know this is a basic element, but what things you think they should back off more on, and what things you think they should stay, you know what I'm saying, what things they need to beef up more? Like I know people will talk about they want less government, but what would be realistic about it? What things do you think are reasonable for them to back up off of, and what do you think they need to remain?
I'm sorry, man. I didn't quite hear you. You broke up. What makes me think what?
No, I'm saying people always say the government needs to back off more. What things reasonably do you think to back off more on, and what things do you think they should beef up more? Well, I mean, their presence and more. Can you hear me?
I could barely hear you.
I said, what things do you think the government needs to back off from, and what do you think they need to step it up more in?
Hold on a second. Hold on.
Oh, God. Maybe you need to repeat the question.
All right, man.
Yeah, he was saying, what things do you think that they should cut back on, as opposed to what they should beef up more?
What should they
be involved in? What shouldn't they be involved in?
I think, all right. I think we should have. There's no reason we shouldn't be able to combine our intelligence community, all right? Because you've got the CIA knowing X, you got the FBI knowing Y, you got the ATF knowing Z, okay? Then you got the newest of all these branches, Homeland Security, and they may know A and B, but not C, okay? There's no reason that we shouldn't combine them all into one unit, okay? Now, there are certain things that are necessary. There are other things that are not. For example, I do believe that the Department of Defense should stay very well funded, you know, because right now the cutbacks on the Department of Defense are affecting some of our troops that are coming back home, you know, whether it is with their treatments or, you know, their housing and what so to recover. Take, for example, the whole issue with Walter Reed. But, you know, I also believe that such entitlement programs, such as Social Security, okay? Social Security's original purpose was as a lockbox. It was meant to be a means of supplementing upon retirement, not to live off of, but to supplement, to help you out, okay? In case, you know, it was in case we'd ever go into another Great Depression. It was in case we, you know, for our elderly to be able to get stuff to eat and help pay for their medical expenses. I think that, you know, the government should set foot in, for example, their it should beef up a little more their medical, you know, like your Medicaid, your Medicare, you know, to take care of those underprivileged as well as the elderly. But they need to stay out of it, too. They need to, like, for example, with Social Security, they need to stay out of these things. They need to leave it, leave the money as it is. Quit taking money out of it that is not theirs to spend.
Right.
The shrinks in government should happen from on the district level, okay? It should be, for example, the House of Representatives has expanded by, I believe it was like 22% since George Bush was in office, which means basically a district got too big for a congressman, so they split it into two districts. Now there's two congressmen there. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So we need to, we should do with the House like they do with the Senate. There's 100 senators, and the speaker, which is the dang vice president, you know, should do the same thing at the House. 100. That would eliminate a whole lot of income there. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There are certain areas that do need cut. I mean, by no means am I an expert at it. But the only way to get at it would be to look into it. I think we need to invest heavily in technology, you know, to beef up our defense through technology. That if ever comes a day where we can remotely fight a war instead of sending out our troops, I'm all for that. You know what I'm saying? That's an extremely broad subject that needs to be broken down at different levels. You know, and the only way to get at it is to look into it. And again, I'm no expert at it, but, I mean, them are just some of my opinions there.
Yeah?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right.
And I guess, I mean, that's a lot of people, that's the thing right there, you know, especially, you know, That opens up a whole can of worms when we talk about privacy and we talk about, you know, different things that the government should and should not have control over. I mean, at what point are we going to draw the line and say, hey, you know, enough is enough?
Well, you know, yeah, you know, back in its prime, the KGB was a radical organization. It was the Russia's version of the CIA and FBI combined. They would gather intelligence of their own people as well as abroad. Okay? And back in the days of the Cold War, and still to this day, there's rogue KGB agents running around. But back in the days of the Cold War, it was nothing whatsoever for local people out there to speak against the communist government, and the next day they're found dead. You know?
Wow.
And that was based on solely getting information.
Wow.
They knew who their enemies within were. They knew who they were, who was speaking against them. Next thing you know, poof, they disappear, or they were found dead, or mysteriously they ended up hanging themselves. By the same token, they had their hands tied behind their back. You know?
Yeah.
And that was if you was lucky. If you was unlucky, you got taken to their secret camps, their torture camps. You know, and you didn't come out of there alive, but it just took a lot longer, and it was a lot slower. The scariest people on this earth are former KGB agents.
Yeah.
I'm telling you that straightforward. And it was all in the name of knowledge and information. We need to gather this to make sure our government stays strong and our way of life stays strong. It was a beautiful speech by the communists, but that's eventually what it led to.
Mm.
As I told both of you, you know, when in my time in the Marine Corps, I spent time in Colombia during the early 90s. And out there, during the Escobar years, Pablo Escobar had so much power that if you spoke out against him, you didn't know who was with him. He would personally come down and to assassinate you.
Yeah.
These are things that, and I'm not saying we'll ever get to that point, but the thing is, the more freedoms you give away, the closer we are to that.
All right. Yeah. Hey, while we're on this topic, I want to get your opinion about the Texas stabbing last week. What is your thoughts about that?
On the what?
The stabbing that took place in Texas last week. Did you hear about that?
I haven't heard anything on that. Fill me in.
I haven't heard much about it either. It hasn't really gotten a lot of media coverage, I don't think. You know much about it, Michael?
The only thing that I had heard was that there were 14 injured in a stabbing incident in Texas. But
yeah,
that the police had the subject in custody.
Mm.
That was all I heard on it after that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had heard on that.
Wow.
I guess since they had someone in subject in custody so quickly, I probably ended all the good news coverage on it, probably.
Hey, real quick, not to go back to something, but, you know, when you asked me about government cutbacks and all, what are some things I believe should happen?
Yeah.
Here's two things that are normally right at the front of my conversation to that, but I completely phased out. I believe that there should be term limits in the House and the Senate, just like there is with the presidency.
Yeah.
You know,
there's not.
What's that?
I say you're right, there's not.
Yeah. And there should be. You know, that would get rid of the career politician. That way, when they get out, they have to go out and get a job just like the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
Another belief should happen is we need to take away and I mean wiped it away, where the government votes their own races. Yeah, all these congressmen and all these senators vote every single year a cost of living raise. I don't get a cost of living raise every single year. I'm sure none of y'all do, you know. Need to take that away. If they want a raise, they need to bring it up to their constituents. And I would pay money to see some congressman or some senator in front of their district at a town hall meeting in front of a district that's got 22% unemployment trying to explain why they need a $17,000 a year raise when the average person there is making less than $15,000 a year on unemployment.
Oh, wow.
You know, I mean, call me crazy, but you get taxed even in unemployment. So although you're collecting unemployment, you're still paying for these congressmen and senators' salaries, you know? So, yeah, them are just two other things I would change. I mean, that's just me.
Personally, I think the idea of term limits is a beautiful idea.
Absolutely. I really thought the whole thing of them stopping, you know, stopping them from voting their own races, you would have liked that one too.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. You know, again, that's just me. You know, some of these people, like, and again, I'm only aware, keep this in mind when I say these names, I'm only aware of, you know, certain people that have made careers in politics, such as, well, God rest his soul, Richard Byrd from West Virginia, Lugar here in Indiana, you know, Feinstein and Barbara Boxer and, you know, Teddy Kennedy, God rest his soul, you know. These people made their lives off politics.
Well, that is a thing I'm going to have to dial in with a different phone.
Ooh, are your phone going dead?
Yeah.
I think it's recording. I don't know if you're going to be able to get back in. I think Michael has dropped the phone call, but I think that I'm going to go ahead and tell you guys what's coming up in the next couple of shows. Wednesday night we will be doing our entertainment beat, and we will have Miss DeAndre back on air. She will be joining us again. She's back. And also, JR, I know you're going to be a special guest on Wednesday because I know you have a story that you want to cover, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, about can you just give them a little give them an insight, little insight on what we're going to be talking about?
What's that?
Can you give them an insight on what you want to cover on next show about the representative from Atlanta?
Representative Hank Johnson.
Nate Johnson, okay.
Hank Johnson, yes, sir.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, it's going to be jam-packed. Yeah.
Hey, would you like for me to get on that now or later?
We can get on that. We can get on that on Wednesday show. I don't know if you what you had going on Wednesday, right. But I know, cause I was gonna do it tonight, but with this whole incident that happened, I just wanted to push that show up to Wednesday, and I wanted to just do like a special edition show tonight.
Yes, yeah, listeners in Georgia, you should be ashamed, Hank Johnson, y'all's pride and joy.
Yeah. Oh Lord.
Hey, speaking of that, did you ever have the chance to look at that video?
No, I need to get on that, yeah. I'm scared to look at it, JR.
Oh, my. Yeah, you definitely got to look at that gem.
Check this out. This is something that you might want to jump in next Monday on, too. This is on our Monday show next week. We're going to have
one of my friends that's a libertarian come on the show.
Oh, nice.
And he's been on the show before, and I think it went over very well. Like, it was very informative. But he's going to discuss, we're going to discuss some things dealing with gun control. We're going to talk about what's been going on in the news lately. His campaign with Gary Owens. He lives in Ohio right now, but he's going to talk about the campaign with him. And we're just going to talk about different platform issues, and just we're going to have a good time. So that's going to be on our Monday show.
All right. Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah. Were you on that show when he called in?
Yeah. That was the first time I ever announced about my time in Columbia.
Yeah, so it's going to be a good time. I think he's coming on Monday. He's scheduled to come on at 10. So I'm really looking forward to it. And also, Michael just sent us an IM. I know that he says I can't dial back in, it won't let me. So, I think he won't be able to get back in, but I just wanted to just wrap the show up and let everybody know what's coming up. You have any things that you want to recognize? We need to get you on here more often, JL. We need to get you set up with a show, because I think with the career that you're about to have taken off, you need to have your voice on here. Have your own show. And be your own.
No problem, man. I mean,
we need to get together and work on some things and plan some stuff out, because I know I'm about to get back in doing video broadcast too, that I'm going to start taking shows for my YouTube channel. We're going to still have the radio show, but I'm going to start doing video shows. I'm going to get back with you guys soon about that. We're going to start doing hopefully a couple of tapings a month. So we're going to change things, and also we're going to start probably doing more pre-recorded shows too. So we're going to be exploring some more options, and we're going to really start getting into some things. I know our YouTube channel is growing. I know, I haven't done much with it, so, I mean, I appreciate everybody who's been checking out our older videos. We have, like, 245 subscribers on YouTube, so we need to get that up. I want to get to at least 300 here in the next couple months, and I just want to see the things probably start to grow. So if you haven't checked out our website, it's www.com/COFQ. You can check our Facebook page and all that stuff. But I'm going to stop here, JR. I appreciate you coming on as always.
Anytime, bro. It's always my pleasure. You know that.
All right. But I'm going to call you here in a little bit, and we'll probably discuss a couple things.
All right, brother. I'll be waiting.
All right. All right. Bye-bye.